Praise God. Well, a few weeks ago, I started out sharing something very important with us about the giving that produces. Not every gift that we give produces results. And so we studied from the Word of God, from the book of Haggai, how God talked about how the people gave. They gave much and they got back little. And as we went through that, we began to see that the giving that produces is the giving that impacts lives. Giving for souls. Amen? And as we have progressively moved through that particular subject, we came last week to the aspect where the people were not given and the loss that they experienced because of it. But it didn't just start that way. It started out because of an offense that was carried. For the Bible tells us about Uzziah. It says that in the year that Uzziah died, God revealed himself to a prophet called Isaiah. And the reason that was crucial, not in terms of timetable, but in terms of experience, was because Uzziah started out very well. He was a very unique man. God did mighty things through him because he hung around the prophet Zechariah. And as Zechariah was sharing things with him, this man, just like we were just talking about a moment ago about young Matthias being futuristic, Uzziah stepped into the futuristic dimension. He started building engines way back. Engines, doing extraordinary things, but then he overstepped himself because pride came into his heart. God, as long as he continued with God, God prospered him. And so he burnt incense at the altar of prayer. That was not his assignment. He crossed the lines and he was stricken with leprosy. Because there was pride in his heart. And when that happened, the Bible tells us that he ran out of the temple. He took off. When he took off, he never came back to the temple because he died a leper. He was in a place the Bible called several house. Well, his son, Jotham, came to power, and Jotham shot the doors of the temple. Or rather, not Jotham. Jotham started out the process. He did not go into the house of God at all. His son comes in and shut the doors and locked everything up. And for years, there was no worship in the house of God. The priests were unemployed, the people were not given to the purposes of God anymore, and poverty struck the nation until Hezekiah. Hezekiah comes, and on the first month, the Bible says in chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, he says, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Hezekiah changed everything. He started a reformation. Things began to change. He got the priests to get back to proper order because they had not prepared themselves for the worship of God. They were not there for the people. And because souls were not being impacted, there was abject poverty in the spirit and in the soul and in the body, in their finances, in their relationships. It was just a dire situation. But as he brought reformation, things began to change. They began to bring their offerings. He sought for restoration of the people. And then at about this time of the year, the time of Passover, he reinstated the Passover. And the people began to bring stuff. They began to honor God with their tithes, with their offerings, and the Reformation continued. And lo and behold, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 31, beginning to read from verse 4. He says, moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. One of the things we talked about when we're talking about giving was that your giving was primarily for souls. And I began to share with us how that impacts souls. Not only because we're investing so that the message of the gospel can be preached, but also so that we remove the minds of those that have been called to serve with the ministry of the word from secular issues, so that their focus is on the things of God. When this began to happen, increase came to the people. The word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to you. So it was at the time of Hezekiah that he said to the people, take care of the priest. Let their needs be met so that they might be encouraged, he says, in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. They can focus themselves on preaching the gospel, not starting businesses all over the place, trying to make ends meet or trying to save for their future. Everything is taken care of. Their needs are met. They don't have to worry or concern themselves about anything. All they need to focus on is on the word, on praying for the people of God, encouraging the people of God, seeing that the people of God are established, that they are walking in divine health. Their focus is on what God called them to do. God did not call men and women of God to go work at Home Depot. Hello. If we are going to prosper, we have to make certain. Listen, child of God, you may like what I'm talking to you about now and accept it as the truth, as based on the word of God, or you can reject it and think all the pastor wants is my money. That's your business. I trust God to have every need met. Amen? God can meet every need. I don't have to preach about giving for my sake because God does meet my needs. Amen. Amen? But you need to know how God causes you to prosper. Amen. God wants every... There should not be one poor person in the house of God. Amen. Poverty is not part of God's plan for us. It says, in the house of the righteous is wealth and riches. Amen? Amen? But how does it happen? I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Notice that God even talks about my soul prospering, and he connects it to my prosperity in every other area. So what do you think happens when I am seeking for the well-being of souls? God will cause me to prosper even more. Amen. Hallelujah. It's about God blessing us, every one of us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the missing ingredient. Because you see, it's not because people don't give, but many times, you know, what we've been taught, what has come across many pulpits, and rightly so, it has been called the prosperity gospel, is give so that you can buy a car, so you can get a house. And God says, no, that's backwards. I want you to give to impart souls, and I'll give you the house. And I'll give you the clothes, and I'll give you the car. But be interested in what I'm interested in. Now, the people of God were broke and defeated. until Hezekiah comes and says, do this. It says, and as soon, verse 5, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. Notice, it says they brought in first fruits, and then they brought also the what? The tithe. Hallelujah. And they did it, they brought it abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which are consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them by heaps. What happened? They had already started out obeying the word of God when Hezekiah started talking to them, and God began to touch whatever it is that they laid their hands to do, and now there was an overflow. God caused us to experience the overflow. In the name of Jesus, because we are concerned about what God is concerned about. When we concern ourselves about how we can reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God says, I am going to so bless you that there will be no room enough for you to store it. There was no place to store this thing. So they start heaping stuff on the street. Can you imagine being so blessed that there's no place to store it? You have to go out into the open field, into the open area, and start creating heaps, pyramids of stuff. Wow. It says, in the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. 4 months just laying the foundation. 4 months. Wow. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, Since. Say it again, since. One more time. Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed what? His people. And that which is left is this great store. What is left? Hallelujah. What is left? What is what? Left. Let me tell you, what is left, those guys who were given, they had covered whatever it is that they need to cover, so much so that what is even left after that is what this heap was all about. Let that be our story in Jesus' name. Blessed beyond measure. You know, there's a place where you are so blessed that you don't concern yourself about bills. What bills? No matter how big the bill is, it will not consume everything that Bill Gates has. Is somebody listening? You and I can be so blessed. You pay your bills and you pay other people's bills. Hallelujah. You build the university and people come in for free. Glory be to God. Because there's too much. That must happen for us. Hallelujah. But it starts with taking care of the house of God. Not because you want things, but because you want souls to be saved. And God says, if that's where your heart is, I gave my all for souls, and here you are acting like me, I will give to you the same grace that's upon my life. My glory will rest upon your life. It is beyond limit. So, you think that when people are getting blessed, the blessing continues, the devil will stay away. But that was not the story. Hezekiah Hezekiah, the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Because Hezekiah is doing all the right things, what does the devil do? He gets a devilish king called Sennacherib to come attack. Not only is he attacked and is he being harassed, and the people being harassed and being told, don't trust Hezekiah. Hezekiah is nobody. He's a nobody. He's a nothing. He can't even help you. They were doing everything, but God said, no, said Hezekiah, don't worry about it. This guy, his foot will not touch your property.
Amen.
Amen. The meditation that we had today was about the counterattack of the enemy. But you know what? The Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above. Someone say far above. All principalities, all powers, all rulers of the darkness of this world, you are seated in Christ Jesus far above. That means that you are not in close proximity. That the counterattacks of the enemy are just going to be things that he's lobbing, and it will never come close to you. It will never come close to your house. It will not come against your finances. It will not come against your health. It will not come against anything that concerns you, because the glory of God is upon you. You are in Christ Jesus. Satan is a liar. He is defeated, and you are more than a conqueror. In the mighty name of Jesus. The goodness of God will be revealed in the lives of his people.
Amen.
Sennacherib threatens Jerusalem. He comes and he says things like this. Hezekiah is not going to help you. Hezekiah has helped them greatly. He's pointed them in the right direction. He's opened the gates to the temple. The priests are restored. They are doing what God called them to do, minister to souls. And now that the people are being ministered to, increase hath come. But it says in chapter 32, actually, let me read this verse. In chapter 31 and verse 20, he says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, meaning the word, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with a partial heart. No, with all his heart and what? Prospered. Everything that he did for God, he did with all of his heart, and he prospered. 32. And after these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. He thought to win them for himself. Why is he coming? Because there's prosperity here. He couldn't come when there was nothing to steal, kill, and destroy. He couldn't come when there was no reason to attack. When the enemy attacks, it's because there's something he sees. That's why the word of God says, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but will provide a way of escape. Amen? The enemy never comes against you if there's nothing of value in your life. If there's something of value, he's going to try. But God says in his word, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. So if the attack is big, it's because God thinks that you are bigger. Oh, yeah. If the attack is big, it's because God knows that you are bigger. Because he's made a promise, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, which you are able to handle. And so when the enemy comes, God also says, I will raise up a standard. Like a flood. Hallelujah. I will drown every enemy that comes against you. Glory be to God. Please hear me, what I'm saying to you by the Spirit of God. Yes, Sennacherib, he comes and he thinks he's going to have his way. That's what he thinks. But a man of God, Hezekiah, after he was fed up with all of this threatening, he takes the letters that Sennacherib has sent to him, threatening him. He brings it to the altar. Says, God, look at what they are saying. Look at what they are saying. Listen to this. In verse 7 of 32. It says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Wow. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Praise the Lord. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They rested on the words. Sennacherib is coming. And the Bible tells us. Let's go to verse 20. This is the first attack. Is this attack of Sennacherib. Trying to harass them in their minds. Trying to get rid of them. Why? Because they started honoring God. And God says, he says, when we honor him with our tithes and our offerings, he says, he will rebuke the devourer. Amen? Because the enemy wants to come devour. He says, I'm going to rebuke that devourer. Hear this. In verse 20, it says, and for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. The Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains of the camp of king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels, his own children, slew him there with a sword. Anyone that thinks that they are going to get away with harassing you in any sphere of your life, God is reversing the battle against them. Amen. The devil's a liar. Sennacherib goes back home after the angel of the Lord comes against them. But notice, he says in verse 20, and for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. Why are they able to cry? Because they've done the right things. That gives you the right to cry out, God, we did what you said to do, and this is the result we're getting. Well, watch this, watch this. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. God guided them from every side. The Lord says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. And he will do what? Direct your path. Listen to this in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's see all of it. I'll take it from verse 3. Proverbs 3 and 3. And I'm going to go to right to verse 6. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find what? Favor and good understanding in the sight of whom? Of God and man. When you hold on to the word of God. Verse 6. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. How did Hezekiah worship God? With all his heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall do what? Direct thy paths. But watch the next verse. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from what? Evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to what? Thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And watch verse 9 now. Honor the Lord with what? Thy substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall what? Thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new what? New wine. It starts out with acknowledging God and not leaning on your own understanding. When you lean on your own understanding, you live in fear. You cannot give, you cannot release anything because you are afraid giving will make you less. No. Giving makes you greater. Amen? It is the fear that comes from the devil that keeps us in poverty. And poverty is not part of God's story for our lives. He's a good God. Amen? I said God is a good God. So the devil tried. Sennacherib is gone. Things should be better now. But no, there's another attack. There is another attack. He says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death. Why should this man who's doing the right things be sick to death? Because there's a devil that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, when you start honoring God, the enemy tries to come to attack. But God does better than that. Amen? Amen? He'll get that devil back into his own territory and sabotaged and a coup d'etat is waiting for him. Amen. There's a coup waiting. Glory be to God. So here he was. He's sick to the death. And prayed unto the Lord. And he spake unto him and gave him a sign. Hallelujah. This same account is given to us in 2 Kings 20. In 2 Kings 20, I'm going to read from verse 1 real quickly. I'm going to try not to slow down. And I want you to see what's happening. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him. Remember, these are prayer partners. Remember, we just talked about them praying together, and they seen Sennacherib defeated. Amos, Isaiah the son of Amos comes to him and says to him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What? No. This is not right. This is not right. And please share this. Because there's two things that we're going to see from Hezekiah. He's going to act on this. He's going to deal with this situation. But there's another situation that he is going to fail on. And I'll show you the common factor. Okay? What made the difference? And I want you to hear this, because this is what makes the difference for every one of us, no matter what the situation is. He hears this, says, "You're going to die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Verse 4, "And it came to pass, afore as I was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying," watch this, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer and have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord." I don't know if you heard what we just read. He was just told, "You're going to die. Get your house ready. You dead meat." The guy turns his face against the wall and says, "God, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. No. Whatever it is that he said, I do not accept it. You got to do something about this." And while Isaiah is still in the palace, he's not outside the palace yet. He's still there in the middle court. God says to Isaiah, "Go back." Go back where? To Hezekiah. Okay. Why? Tell him he's not going to die. Can you imagine the confusion that Isaiah is feeling now? I just told the guy he's going to die. Now you tell me to go tell him that he's not going to die. What gave him the right? He's given. It was his giving that gave him the right, because he was interested in souls. His interest in making certain that the people of Israel do no longer stay in captivity in their minds caused them to be able to talk to God. And God says, "Go tell him. He's not going to die. And on the third day, he's going to be in the house of the Lord." The third day experience is the third day experience of resurrection life. God is speaking to every one of us, and he's saying to us, "I am God, I will raise you back up." Hallelujah. "I am the God who raises back up." May God raise you up now in Jesus' mighty name. So he goes. Verse 6. He says, "And I will add unto thy days 15 years. 15 years. That's triple grace. 5, 5, 5. Amen? I'm going to add to his life 15 years. "And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." Notice he puts those two together. I'll deliver my people from the king of Assyria. That tells you there are two things. The two prongs of attack. Watch this. I like this. Verse 7. "And Isaiah took a lump of lumps, and they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered." We missed the verse. The place that we missed is that when Isaiah came to him, Isaiah said, "You're not going to die." Hezekiah says, "Hold it. About 10 minutes ago, you came here and you told me I'm going to die. Now you came here again and told me I am not going to die. Okay, I need a sign. What sign do you want? I want you to back up time. Please, are you with me? I want you to do what? Back up time by 10 degrees. Why? Why does he want time backed up? Because 10 minutes ago, 10 degrees ago, you came here and you told me I'm going to die. Back it up. That way, it's like you never showed up here. This is the first time you showed up here. And what I'm hearing now is the first thing I'm hearing from you. You're going to live. Hallelujah. Back up time. Glory be to God. Let God back up time for you now and bring restoration. Restoration. Restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. The devil's a liar. I have not heard any bad words. All I hear are good words. I say all I hear are good words. Any bad word is backed up in the mighty name of Jesus. Back it up. Glory be to God. And God honored it. And he placed fig leaves on the wound. And he recovered. Because God showed himself strong. God will do the same thing for you and I. Amen. He's a God of restoration. The Lord Jesus Christ took this same principle in the very first miracle that he performed. He'd been invited to a wedding. The Bible says their wine ran out. The mother comes to Jesus and says, they need wine. I say, what business of that? It's mine. But the mother says to the servants, whatever he says for you to do, do it. So Jesus calls his servants. For when people came to that wedding, they had pots filled with water. And those pots that were filled with water, they took the water from there and they washed their hands and their feet before they stepped into the ceremony. Now those pots were empty. But when they were full, they had lots of wine. Are you with me so far? Now they are empty. And what does Jesus do? He says, go fill those pots back. Fill them up. Those are the wrong pots, Lord. The ones that need wine are those wine skins over there, not these pots. These need water, and nobody else is coming to the party. There's no wine here. So why are we filling these pots? It didn't make any sense. But God knew exactly what he was doing. Ask me, what was he doing? He was backing up time. Amen? He was what? Backing up time. When those water pots were full of water, there was lots of wine here. So let's fix this problem. Pour the water in there. And when they did, he told them, take the water from there and go give to the MC. He took the water and go to the MC, hand it over to the MC, who is expecting what? And he puts that which he was expecting to his mouth. And what did he get? Wine. You say, Pastor, what did you tell me this story? Two things. Well, the backing up of time, but secondly, According to your expectation, so shall it be unto you. If you expect increase, you will have increase. If you want wine, you will get the wine. Because God is backing up time. Say, God is, yes. When God forgave you every sin you ever committed, He backed up time. You stand before Him righteous, without sin, without blame. He backed up time because you and I know we are blowers. We blow it all the time. But God had gone ahead and backed up time. And He says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He backed up time. Now begin to expect. Prosper and be in health, even as your soul what? Prospers. You know, some smart Alex says, well, you know, that was just a greeting. It was just a greeting. It was not, it was just like saying, I salute you. When you salute somebody, you are honoring them. What's bad about that? When you salute somebody, you are blessing them. Where is the blessing? Hallelujah. God's blessings are on your life. Amen. The blessings of God are on our lives because we seek God with all of our heart. Amen? Amen. But whatever it is that you don't deal with ends up dealing with you. That is the irony of life. Hezekiah has been doing everything the way he should. But the Bible tells us something about him that he left undone. I don't know if time permits me to go that far today, but let me do this. It says in verse 25 of 2 Chronicles, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. He rendered not. In other words, one of the fundamental principles that we talked about week last, about the power of continuity, he did not continue. So many people forget how they got blessed. They get blessed and they forget. They become, the way we say it in Nigeria, big man. Huh? You become a big man. You used to, when you didn't have two coins to rub together, you used to stand greeting people at the door, welcoming people, and now you are a big man. You have money. Now you don't want to serve anybody. You're too big. You used to pray. Spend hours in prayer. Now you've arrived. Now you don't pray anymore. Now you don't fast anymore. Now you don't study the Word of God anymore. Now you don't, you know, because that is for those who are just starting. I paid my dues. No, whatever it is you used to do that got you to where you are now is still good to continue to do. Don't ever get too big that you lose the principles of grace that God has established in your life. Amen? So it says, but Hezekiah rendered not again. According to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was what? Lifted up. That was the problem of Uzziah. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Interesting. Second Kings gives us a few more details to that story. What really happened? What really happened is that Hezekiah is very wealthy. He is so blessed. And the princes of Babylon came to visit. And Hezekiah is so full of himself by now. And he begins to show the princes of Babylon everything in his house. And then takes them to the house of the Lord and shows them every single thing. Everything. Shows them. The Bible tells us the reason. The reason was not, look at what God has done. It was, look at what I've produced here. I did this. If it were not for me, none of this would have happened. None of this. And when the attitude is like that, disaster surely is going to strike. Remember Hezekiah, he's sick. He cries out to God, right? And he's healed. Now, Isaiah is going to speak to him and tell him that he's messed up. Let me read this to you real quick. And then you see what pride does. Pride gets you to be only about yourself. Verse 12, 2 Kings 20. At that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah. Sent a present. For he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? What did they see? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. And there's nothing among the treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried out, oh God, please have mercy. No. What does he say? Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Because it had nothing to do with him. Now he didn't even care about his own children being eunuchs. And when you become a eunuch, that means you become unfruitful. That means nothing is happening. He didn't care. Why didn't he care? I got my peace. And God says, no, you got to look beyond now. For a good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. It is not about, I have a nice Mercedes Benz and I have a limo in my backyard and I have a 10, 20,000 square foot house. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. No, no. God says, you got to think beyond this. So that your children are greater than you. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Give beyond yourself. Give for your children. Give for the future. For in that, God is glorified. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Can you? What happened to our Hezekiah? What happened? He started well, but did not continue. That story was Uzziah's story. And now, guess what's going to happen? His son, Manasseh, is going to come to power. And when Manasseh comes to power, everything goes back to square one. The guy becomes so evil. Evil. Because Hezekiah did not continue to the end. But thank God, there was something about Hezekiah that transferred to his son Manasseh. When his son Manasseh is taken out into captivity, according to the word of God, when he was there in captivity, he cried out to God. He repented before God, and God sprung him out of Babylon. And he came back, and he brought about restoration. Because God will work with whoever wants to work with him. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying this to us today, to every one of us. It's not just about you. What you do matters. But it doesn't just matter to you. It matters to your generation and to your legacy and to your children and your children's children. Whatever I do does not just affect me, it affects my children. Therefore, I must, without fail, commit myself to making sure that the decisions I make are the right decisions, not just for myself, but for my children. Do you understand? Some of us are living our lives just for ourselves. Our children are also souls. Are they not? Yes. They are souls. Why am I going to bless Abraham? Why do I choose Abraham? Because I know he's going to take care of business. He's going to take care of souls, especially the souls of his children. Now God cares about souls. Now, you may have a child or you may have children. And you've done your very best, and they go astray. Well, God is the perfect father. Would you say so?
Yes.
And he's the father of us all?
Yes.
Did we go astray? Some of us came back. Some people are not going to come back. But it's not because God is a bad God. But the fact is that being a person that looks diligently to the next generation and what's going to happen there, and recognizing that what I do now is going to impact them, is very important. My desire for the love of the Word of God is very important. Went to our dear brother's 70th birthday yesterday, and the wife and the children talked over and over and over and over and over and over about his prayer life. How he prays. I think he does a night vigil every night. Who does that? He does. Every night till 5 a.m. Guy doesn't go to sleep. Praise. Now guess what? I don't care how little the children pray. They're going to pray more than the average person. Because there's a legacy that's been laid. This, our father, when he has an issue, he goes to God. And they called him Mr. No Problem. Because no matter what the problem is, he says, no problem. And people that is telling the no problem, they are getting upset. But finally, they come to the conclusion, he's right. He said, no problem, there's no problem. Well, that's legacy. Huh? That's legacy. My spiritual father, legacy, committed, driven. Driven. No matter what the situation, driven. Why? Souls. What am I going to do? My hunger, my thirst, my passion has to be the same because that's what I know. I know a man that is driven about souls. I cannot do anything but do that. Amen? Hallelujah. What you do is important. What you hold important is going to be important to the next generation. What's unimportant to you will become unimportant to them. And today, I want to challenge every one of us to understand that what we do matters. Your giving matters. Your heartbeat for souls matters. The decisions you make matter. They do matter. May God's grace abound to us, every one of us, and spur us to higher heights in Him this day and always. Rise with me.